Welcome, curious minds, to the deep dive.
Look, it's just impossible to escape the buzz around AI and all this new tech right now, isn't it?
No, it really isn't. Every headline, every chat.
Yeah, it seems like it's everywhere.
Yeah.
But, beyond the hype, what's it actually mean for us? For how we work, how we connect, maybe even how we see ourselves.
Exactly. It's digging into those deeper human questions, isn't it? How do we actually thrive when there's just so much information and the skills we need keep changing,
yeah,
like constantly?
And that's our mission for this deep dive. We've waded through a whole stack of different sources, stuff on healthcare, teams, innovation, human behavior.
A real mix.
Right, a real mix. To try and figure out how AI is genuinely reshaping things, we want to uncover some maybe surprising truths about thriving in all this.
Okay, so where do we start peeling back the layers?
Well, let's kick off with something I think a lot of us feel. Information overload. Get this one source mentioned. GPs, doctors, spend 50% of their time just reading patient data.
Half their day, wow.
Half their day. And it's not just doctors, is it? That Atlassian report, the state of Teams won.
Yeah.
It put it really bluntly, something like, Teams have more information than ever, but they've never been less informed.
That's it. Such a paradox,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
And the real cost for knowledge workers, people at desks, they're spending, on average, 10 hours a week just looking for stuff they need.
10 hours?
Yeah. Add in meetings, all the back and forth, and you're looking at maybe 50% of the work week just gathering information. It's exhausting.
It leads straight to burnout, distraction, teams even ending up working on the same thing without realizing it.
So much wasted effort.
Which is exactly where this idea of agentic AI comes in.
Yeah.
It's potentially transformative.
How so?
Well, the key insight is when you integrate AI directly into the digital systems we already use, meetings, files, Slack, whatever, it can actually step in and handle all that work about the work, the admin, the searching.
Right. Freeing us up from the busy work to do the stuff that actually matters.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the results can be pretty dramatic. That same source on GPs, it talked about ambient AI for documentation.
Yeah. What did it find?
A 58%, maybe even up to 60% drop in GP burnout.
60%. That's incredible. But okay, how does that translate outside of healthcare, say in a regular business?
Well, that's where it gets interesting. AI can be trained on a company's internal knowledge, all its documents, its past projects, its style.
So it learns how we do things.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Anyone can quickly tap into that. Need to write a social media post in the brand voice. AI can help. Need to understand a past decision. It can find it.
Okay, I see. So it cuts down on like getting new people up to speed or knowledge walking out the door when someone leaves.
Right. And it smooths out approvals, all that friction. It basically frees up human brain power for more meaningful work.
More meaningful work. But what is meaningful work when AI is also changing what it means to be an expert? That brings us to the whole idea of knowing things.
Ah, yes. The fading superpower.
Remember the 80s? Trivial Pursuit was massive. And characters like Cliff Clavin on Cheers. Knowing random facts made you cool.
Totally. It was a kind of superpower. But then the internet came along.
Yeah.
And now AI. And it's basically, as Herbert Simon kind of predicted, killed the bar bet.
Killed the bar bet.
Yeah, the cost of remembering something is basically zero when the answer's in your pocket.
True. Why memorize when you can just look it up?
But here's the really mind-bending part. It's not just about knowing anymore. We've had decades of computers being better at remembering stuff.
Okay.
But in just the last few years, maybe three or so, they're getting better at thinking, too.
Thinking? How do you mean?
Well, think about the milestones. IBM's Deep Blue beating Kasparov at chess back in 96. Okay, that was calculation mostly.
Right.
But then IBM's Watson winning Jeopardy in 2011. That required understanding language, nuance.
Hmm. Okay, more than just fact.
Then DeepMind's AlphaGo beating Lee Sedol in Go in 2016. A game with way more possibilities than chess, needing intuition.
So what does that mean for human experts now, if AI can think better in some ways?
It's a profound shift. We're seeing it already.
Yeah.
AI reviewing legal cases better than law firms. Radiologists finding themselves auditing AI scans because, as one source put it, that thing sees patterns better than I could.
Wow. So expertise isn't just about holding knowledge anymore.
Not solely. It's shifting towards interpretation, application, asking the right questions, working with the AI.
And as if that wasn't enough change, the actual skills we need, their shelf life is just plummeting.
Oh, yeah. Skills that might have lasted 30 years back in the day. Now we're talking maybe 2 to 5 years.
2 to 5 years.
And some sources suggest it could soon be as short as 6 months for certain tech skills.
6 months? That's intense. Mm. What does that skill flux, as you called it, mean for us, for our careers?
It basically flips the script. The old idea of I am what I know just doesn't hold up.
So it replaces it.
It's more like I am how I adapt. This leads to the idea of surge skilling.
Surge skilling.
Yeah, the ability to pick up new skills really quickly and crucially, apply them almost immediately.
Okay, and AI helps with that.
Massively. It allows for what you might call proficiency over expertise. So maybe you're a copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
You might not become a world-class SEO expert overnight. But with AI tools, you can lean into tactical SEO, perform those tasks proficiently, adding that capability to your toolkit much faster than before.
So AI acts like a capability booster.
Exactly. A force multiplier for what you can do.
So taking a step back, what's the big picture message here? One of the sources had a great phrase, something about raising the waterline.
Yeah, raising the not my problem waterline.
Yeah.
The idea is AI handles more of the muck. Mm. The tedious, repetitive stuff.
Right, the treachery.
And so we humans can focus on the magic.
The magic.
Yeah, the creative thinking, the strategy, the human connection, the complex problem solving. Think about building Legos with your kids.
Okay.
The muck is spending ages hunting for that one specific brick. The magic is the actual building, the shared fun, the memories.
Ah, I get it.
So an AI app that could scan all your bricks and instantly show you everything you could build. It cuts down the muck time, gets you to the magic faster.
So it's not about AI replacing people or just doing the same work cheaper.
Not fundamentally, no. It's about elevating human work, letting us operate at a higher level, focus on things that are uniquely human.
Okay, this idea of elevating human work, it feels like it leads right into needing different skills ourselves, right? Like connection, adaptability.
Absolutely. This brings us to mastering the art of connection. Our sources really point towards a future that favors the dot connectors over the dot perfectors.
Dot connectors, meaning people who bring different ideas together.
Exactly. That cross-pollination across different fields, that's where the real breakthroughs seem to happen.
You mean like those classic innovation stories?
Precisely. Think about GPS. It wasn't just radio engineers. It needed astrophysicists noticing the Doppler shift on Sputnik and thinking, hey, could we use that?
Wow, okay. Combining space science and radio waves.
Or capacitive touchscreens on our phones. That came from neuroscientists studying the brain's electrical signals, meeting electrical engineers trying to make phone buttons easier to press. Totally different worlds colliding.
That's amazing. Any other examples?
Oh, tons. Gutenberg and the printing press, he combined a wine press with coin-making techniques. Ben Franklin used a printer's trick for static electricity to invent the lightning rod.
Okay, so it's about seeing analogies, connections.
Yes, and one of my favorites, Hedy Lamarr, famous Bollywood actress, right?
Yeah.
She worked with a composer using knowledge of player pianos, how they automate music, to invent frequency hopping spread spectrum.
No way, and that became
the basis for Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. It's these unexpected mashups, these unusual suspects getting together that lead to, as one source put it, sparks, magic, and money.
Sparks, magic, and money. I like that.
The pattern is clear. Connecting broad, sometimes really disparate, fields leads to these quantum leaps. It's not just an AI thing. It's how human innovation often works.
So if being a dot connector, a polymath, is the key, how do we actually do that? Do the sources give any pointers?
They do offer some pro tips.
Yeah.
First one is pretty obvious maybe, but crucial. Curiosity is king. You need to be intellectually promiscuous.
Intellectually promiscuous, meaning?
Meaning just be open to exploring lots of different ideas, fields, subjects. Don't stick to just one narrow lane.
Okay, stay curious. What else?
Second, train your brain, but maybe not how you think. Research suggests dedicating about 5 hours a week to learning something new.
5 hours? Why that amount?
It seems to be a sweet spot enough to get conversational and understand the basics, but not so much you become rigidly expert and fall into cognitive entrenchment.
Cognitive entrenchment, like getting stuck in one way of thinking.
Exactly. And importantly, don't forget to play and rest. That's when your brain actually consolidates memories and makes connections.
Makes sense. Play and rest aren't wasted time.
Third tip.
Engineer serendipity. Basically, intentionally put yourself in situations where different worlds collide.
Yeah.
If you only hang out with bankers, make an effort to talk to poets or artists or scientists. Mix it up.
Create those unexpected collisions yourself. Got it. What's fourth?
This one's important. Be yourself. Your unique background, your quirks, your experiences, that's all fresh data that AI doesn't have. Don't try to be generic. Use your bugs as features, as one source said.
Use your bugs as features. I like that. Avoid being an NTC, a non-player character.
Precisely. Bring your unique perspective. And finally, number five, rethink education and hiring.
How so?
Well, remember, Thoreau, never let your schooling interfere with your education.
Oh.
We need to resist the push for hyper-specialization everywhere.
And for leaders hiring people.
The advice was hire for values first, then for the ability to learn and adapt, and then look at specific experience. Build teams that aren't just full of I-shaped, deep specialists.
Yeah.
But move towards T-shaped people, deep in one area, but broad across others. And ultimately, maybe even X-shaped collaborators who actively connect and integrate across different T-shaped people.
I-shaped, T-shaped, X-shaped, building collaborative capability.
Yeah, because ultimately, the future isn't just something that happens to you. It's what you make happen.
So we need to shift from just optimizing what we do now.
Towards true transformation. Thinking about new metrics like breakthrough rate or knowledge integration index. How fast can we actually use new insights?
That sounds uncomfortable. Change always is, isn't it?
It definitely is. But the sources suggest the real reward lies just on the other side of that discomfort, an AI. It amplifies everything, the good, the bad, the creative, the mundane. Our choices day to day really do shape where it all goes.
It really forces us to think about the kind of future we want to build.
And how we cultivate that mindset individually and together.
Which brings us to something absolutely fundamental, especially when things are changing so fast. Trust.
Yes. Trust. Hugely important.
Let's look at healthcare again. Our sources pointed out something really striking. You can't fact your way to trust.
That's powerful, isn't it? Despite all the amazing medical science, trust in modern healthcare is actually quite low.
Why do you think that is?
Well, one point made was that facts are in the eye of the beholder. Just throwing data at people doesn't work. Brands, institutions, they need to change the conversation, not just try to change minds with facts alone.
Change the conversation. How?
By understanding history, for one. Acknowledging past mistreatment, especially of minority groups, is crucial for building genuine trust. You have to connect on a human level.
Okay, so facts aren't enough. Connection is key. How do you build that connection?
Storytelling. There's this amazing stat. People absorb information something like 22 times better when it's part of a narrative.
22 times?
Yeah. So the solution isn't just presenting data, it's amplifying the individual story, making people, customers, patients, making them feel seen and understood, making them the hero of their own journey.
Like that classic Apple campaign, the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC ads.
Exactly. The Mac guy was relatable, likable, I'm like you.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying I'm better than you, which is kind of what the PC often implied.
Right. It connected on an emotional level.
And that connection, that feeling of being understood, is apparently far more powerful for building trust than just talking about purpose and values. People respond to brands that seem to genuinely get them.
Makes sense. But as tech gets more personal, like AI, we bump into some tricky ethical areas too, right? Especially around data.
Definitely. Think about cognitive biometric data. Your smartwatch or phone potentially detecting early signs of Alzheimer's from how you type or move.
Wow, that's potentially life-saving, but also
huge privacy questions, right?
Yeah.
Especially who gets access? Your employer, your insurer.
Yeah, that's a minefield.
And then there are things like dream incubation technology trying to influence your dreams. Could it be used for boosting creativity or for advertising?
Advertising in my dreams. No, thank you.
It highlights that dual potential, doesn't it? But the really big shift here, maybe the biggest of all, for maybe the first time, AI allows technology to adapt to us, to humans, instead of us always having to adapt to the clunky interface or the rigid process.
Ah, interesting. The tech bends to us, not the other way around.
Potentially, yes. That could be truly revolutionary if we guide it right.
Okay, so let's try and pull these threads together. We've covered a lot in this deep dive.
We have.
First, AI isn't just hype. It's becoming a real partner, helping us tackle that information overload, clearing away the muck so we can focus on the magic, the truly human work.
Right. And the old idea of the know-it-all expert is fading fast. The new imperative is continuous learning, adaptability, becoming a dot connector who can bridge different fields.
Because that's where innovation sparks. Mm-hmm. And in this digital world, trust and connection are paramount. We can't just use facts. We need storytelling, empathy, making people feel seen.
Absolutely. Authenticity and human connection become even more valuable.
So we've talked a lot about adaptation, constant change, skills becoming obsolete faster and faster. It leaves me with a final thought, something for you, the listener, to maybe chew on.
Okay, what's that?
Considering everything we've discussed today, this relentless pace of change, the need to constantly learn and reinvent, how might our whole idea of retirement or even long-term career planning need to completely shift in the coming decades?
That's a big question. If skills only last a few years, what does a 30 or 40-year career even look like? And what does retiring mean if learning never stops?
Exactly. Something to ponder.